I want to just touch on something that Gemara discusses personally as food, and a mouse feels it. Gemara discusses who's the feet? Is the mouse the feet, or is it the hole that the mouse runs into? So there's a concept in Halacha that's called lo ach b'raganav, the mouse isn't the thief, cho haganav, the hole is the thief. And this is that sometimes we say that when you make the hole that things can get out in, that's really the source of the problem. If there's a market for certain things, then that's the problem. It's not, you could say, well, what about the people who are bringing the drugs in? It's also the problem. The problem is also the people who are helping the people. That we, when it comes to giving responsibility, and Allah, we give responsibility to a lot of people. We say that people have to recognize that responsibility is shared. Now, that doesn't mean that it's shared equally. You can't say that the guy who's selling the drugs to the kid is just as responsible as the parents who are giving the kid money. But we do say that parents are doing something wrong by giving the kid money and not watching what he does with it. There is a concept in Halacha that says sometimes you put a kid in a brothel, you give him a lot of perfume, you give him a lot of money, and you tell him, now do what you want. So then Halacha says, what's he going to do and he won't sit? There is a time when we say that there's responsibility also for giving potential for something to him. And, so we have to recognize to discern between when we give responsibility, when we say that there is some responsibility to prevent something from happening, and saying that means that's the person's fault that it happened, those are two different things. We have responsibility to ensure things don't happen. Now that applies to many things. And that doesn't mean that if it happened, it's my fault that it happened. It just means that I do have a certain responsibility to take care, to try and prevent it. The Torah tells us that there are people who are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. They are biblically prohibited. And we mentioned them towards the end before. We said Ammon, Moab, and we said that Ammon's responsibility is because they boycotted the Jewish people. We were traveling by them and they said, we're not selling them any food or water. Even though they knew we weren't going to conquer them. They knew we weren't interested in fighting them. They weren't part of the land that we were promised by Hashem. The people of Moab, they hired Bilam. They said, come curse the Jewish people for us. So because of that, and the fact that the people of Moab also, they sent their girls out to cause the Jews to sin. So again, you could say, the Jews chose to sin. You could also say no. They sent out old women and they set up a tent, and outside the old women were selling salty old meat, and the young Jewish men were coming to buy the meat, and then after they bought the meat, they'd be thirsty. You guys here could empathize with that. So when they're thirsty, so the old woman would say, hey, you want that good wine inside the tent? They go into the tent and there was a woman, a young girl, dressed seductively, and there she had wine, and she'd tell them, here, you want the wine? I have delicious wine for you. And the guy would say, yeah, I'm dying of thirst, I just had the salty meat. And the woman would say, okay, just serve my idol par, and I'm here available for you, as is the wine. So you could say, what do you mean? The guy sinned. Yeah, the guy sinned, but the women also caused them to sin. I'm not saying that a girl walking in the forest is like this. I'm just saying, there are aspects where in Halacha, we say there's responsibility, everyone's responsible for their actions. People are also responsible. There's a division of responsibility to an extent. Obviously, we cannot equate what she does, where we say, can't blame her, to where him we would kill and not let him do it. There's a difference. We're not saying she's at fault. We are saying that in relation to her responsibility, to herself, to her modesty, and to what's responsible for the way a person should behave, a person should take greater caution and she shouldn't put herself in that situation. The people of Ammon and Moab, the Torah says that they're not allowed into the Jewish people even 10 generations down. This includes the men. The women, it wasn't their job to help us out to sell us. They weren't part of the boycott. And here we see, the Torah tells us a concept of Hakara Satov. On the one hand, we hold Ammon and Moab accountable. We say, who saved Lot? Lot got out of Sodom and Amor. The city of Sodom and Amor were overturned. By whose merit were they saved? By Abraham's merit. Who took Lot in when he was orphaned? He lost his father Haran, his father died. Abraham took him in. So now his offspring meet up with us. What do? They put a boycott on us. So Hashem says, these types of people you don't want them as part of the Jewish people. On the other hand, the Mitzrim, the Torah says third generation Mitzri could marry into the Jewish people. So you ask yourself, what's the Torah telling us? That's like saying we owe Germany something. They were our hosts. So to an extent, the Torah is teaching us the great level that we have to show appreciation. One of the greatest signs of a person's deficiency in traits, or a person's great traits, is the amount of appreciation he could show other people. You want to know a great person? You'll see a person who could show true appreciation. The greater a person is, one of the first things you'll see about him is he could show true appreciation. That is the sign. I very often when you deal in chinuch, you're all, God willing, going to be there, and many of you, I hope, are going to be educators, so you'll see. But one of the signs where you could see where a student is holding by is by the amount of appreciation he shows. Appreciation shows where a person is holding. Now, the Torah is telling us that there was a famine going on in the land of Israel. Yaakov and his family said, we have to go to Egypt. That's where the food's at. The Egyptians took us in. And then they enslaved us. They enslaved us for 210 years. So we're not happy that they enslaved us. We don't take them in like any other nation. They have to wait 3 generations. But the Torah says you can't hate them to the extent that maybe you would want to. The Torah says they were your hosts. There is an element where you owe them something. And even Germany was our host. There is an element where we say, even Germany, yeah, we lived in that country. There was a time when we were there. How much we hate the Germans, it don't. Okay, that's a long conversation which I don't have definitive answers for. Yeah.
On the issue of Moab, we see that the women were accepted. I mean, there was a machlokes, right? But on that, why was the differentiation?
Because we say Hashem says the Moabites, they made a boycott against you. They weren't going to sell you food. So the boycott was the men's doing, wasn't the women's doing. The women weren't supposed to be going out to sell food to the Jewish men. That's not their job. The men were supposed to agree to sell us. And here we see Khan said that we should remember today. The Arab countries made a boycott against us. And that's something which we take to heart. It's not something that we say, okay, who cares? We see that Hashem says that if there was a boycott, you hold it against him. The Torah tells us when we go out to war, we have to be extra careful to be pure. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
So, Torah teaches us to turn on messages. So why do people stop information there? If it was a temporary thing, then why not keep that part of the whole? Why not keep that part of the written Torah?
I don't know. It says that during the destruction of the first temple, the Ammonites and the Moabites, they sent in legions for free. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, these people, they're not willing to intermarry with us, they're not willing to accept us, so we'll destroy them. The Pasuk in Eicha refers to that. They knew about it and they hated us for it. So it had a certain way. They felt it. What? The Yishma'elim, that's Masa Ba'arad. Then there's no prohibition on the Yishma'elim. What? Okay. The Torah tells us when we go out to war, then we have to be extra careful. We can't do like other camps do, that they have these outhouses in between the tents, everyone goes to the bathroom. Shem says you have to have a holy camp. The Jews, every Jew, part of his weaponry is a shovel. Outside the camp, you go to the bathroom. You go outside the camp. Inside the camp, you don't have human pieces. And even outside the camp, you use a shovel, you dig, and you put it there. Now, just one second. From this, we derive many halachos. The Torah, when it describes this, says that Hashem wants us to have a holy camp. We say every person is a source of holiness, halachically, and his camp are Dalet Amos, 4 footsteps around him are his camp. Now what does that mean? It means that when you guys are visiting my house, and my son has a dirty diaper, so there are feces there. Let's say, for a second, we're toilet training him. We are. He's 2.5 years old. So he comes to the Shabbos table, and now he's still wearing diapers. Let's say he's not wearing diapers. And comes time to say Dvar Torah, and you smell something. So you look, and you see that he's not fully toilet trained yet. There's something sitting there next to you. The halacha says, you're not allowed to talk to Dvar Torah within 4 footsteps, not only of the feces, but the smell can't enter your 4 footsteps. What happens if he's wearing a diaper? So the Torah says, what does the Torah say? When you go out to war, you cannot go between the tents. You have to go outside the camp and cover it. So the Torah defines what do you have to do with human feces? They must be covered. So in the diaper, they are covered. So therefore, if we're sitting and we want to speak Divrei Torah, even though my son is at the table, we could talk Divrei Torah, provided that we don't smell anything. If you smell something, then we say the cover didn't help. You know there are human feces there. And if you could smell it, so the smell is coming within to your kin. So the smell cannot be within the four amos. So what did we say? The Torah says you cannot have human feces around. When there are human feces, you cannot speak Divrei Torah, you cannot pray, you cannot bench, you cannot make a blessing. Can't you? You have to have it covered, and the smell can't reach within your four amos. This is halacha. Yeah. No. So a bad smell, we say that when there's a bad smell, when a person passes there, so then one may not pray or make a blessing, but one may learn Torah. Why? The Gemara says that the way they used to have their yeshiva set up was they have the tables learning here and they have the cots over there. When a person is sleeping, he can't contain himself. And it seems like passing air is not biblical. That's what it seems to me from the story. And therefore, our sages said, to make a blessing, to pray, that once there's a bad smell, you have to stop your prayer and wait till the bad smell passes. By the way, a person is not allowed to pass air when he's wearing tefillin. People forget that, because you sit at Shabbos and you see someone, I mean, there's a bad smell, so you know someone doesn't know that halacha. You're not allowed to, that's why if a person can't contain himself, he shouldn't wear tefillin. Person, if he wakes in the morning and has stomach problems, he knows that he's not going to be able to contain himself now. He shouldn't put on film until he knows he could. And once there's a bad smell there, you may not pray or make a blessing, but you could learn. The Gemara says, you see, we're all learning, and the other guys are sleeping right next to us, and obviously they can't contain themselves when they're sleeping. There is constantly a bad smell and not a bad smell. So learning there is permitted. So that's stage number one. David, I see a lot of questions. Yeah.
Okay, so
not letting you, you're letting me.
Yeah, so you have to go outside the camp and bury it. But I mean, if you can have the kid next to you, and his, you know, he's wearing the diaper and you can't smell it, so the poop is near you, but you can't smell it, you can't see it, it's covered.
So the Torah
so why couldn't you, because I'm saying, so what is the difference between that and let's say if you decided to go to the bathroom in the middle of the camp and you covered it, no one could smell it?
For some reason Hashem said he didn't want it, I don't know. So logically, you could, if let's say it were covered, you could, but Hashem says, I am in your midst. The Jewish camp is a holy camp.
Okay.
You're not just going to war to fight a war. It's supposed to be a holy camp. I'm in your midst, I don't want to do
it. Okay, then I guess I'm going to ask, then why is the kid allowed to be near you?
Because there we apply that it's covered. We say once it's covered, that's enough. Right. Even though you're right, if we were deriving directly from the camps, we would say that. But we say that being the Torah ordained that it should be covered, the diaper is covering it.
Maybe.
So anyway, I'm trying to go in the order of the hands that went up. Yeah. Just remind me your name. I'm trying to get the name slowly. Jeff. Okay.
So, is it an impossible commandment to cover your feces?
In a time of war, yes. Not in a time of war, as far as I know, not. But
what is 613?
In a time of war, I think so.
That's one of the numerous that are on
from? Maybe he includes it with the commandment that you have to have a shovel as one of your weapons. Together with your sword, it says one of your weapons. Every Jewish soldier should have a shovel to cover his feces. God says the Jewish camp is a holy camp. You shouldn't see feces in the camp. Yeah. Remind me names as we're going. I'm trying to get them.
Eitan.
Eitan, yeah.
So if you can't control yourself in the morning during Shabbat, do you just put on your tallit and then?
Well, preferably, you should at least hopefully contain yourself for Shema and Shmona Esrei. If you could do that. Put on tefillin for just Shema and Shmona Esrei. Or if you can't contain yourself for that, so put on tefillin for just a few seconds and then take them off. And ideally, say Shema and then just saying, yeah?
I thought you were supposed to go to the bathroom beforehand.
You're supposed to go to the bathroom beforehand. We're talking about a person who had something, he had a lot of figs. That the Gemara says that figs cause a person to. Today, I don't see people that have that issue. Figs can cause a person to have stomach trouble. A person has a lot of prunes. A person has chulin. You see, he's not just because a person needs to pass air doesn't mean he can't pray, so long as he can contain himself. The problem is actually passing air. Yeah, just like you had your hand up?
Yes. Is it better by the urine also?
Is it?
Urine. Are there restrictions?
Urine, the restriction is biblical. The I'm sorry, the restriction is biblical against the stream. once the urine has landed, so then it is rabbinic, and we say that urine. If there's a pile of urine, I was once in this medrash, had a retarded guy used to come and visit us in this medrash. He sat next to me. Suddenly, I look right next to me. There's a puddle on the floor, huge puddle on the floor. So the guy couldn't contain himself. He was retarded. What can he do? But I can't continue learning. There's urine right next to me. So then, what you have to do is either clean it up, or the halacha says very interesting halacha that you could take a ravias of water, a cup of water, pour it in, and that's enough dilution. Why that works? I don't know. That's the halacha. That you could pour into one puddle. I mean, let's say you have a bathroom, so that bathroom, we say, automatically you urinate into a ravias of water, so it's diluted. But there's another halacha where we say that the potty, a vessel that's used for going to the bathroom, being that it absorbs all the smell and all the stench, we treat that as feces itself. Therefore, for example, in my house, those of you who were there, you know that the bathroom door is right near where we sit in the dining room. So I won't talk to every door or bench when it's open, because you could see the stall of the bathroom. So I always ask that you guys close the door so we can continue talking to every door. No, you're not supposed to. No, you're not supposed to see feces. When you're
the
stool, so the stool, according to many opinions, is the din of a.
Because you can't say a bracha in the area of the toilet,
or where you can see the toilet. Seeing the toilet is like seeing feces. You said feces has to be covered; it cannot be within your dalamus. You should not see it. What happens if you see it when it's covered? Someone takes a glass cover and puts it on it. That's okay. Because it's covered, so it has to be covered.
Because it's every day we say you're working initially out the doors, toilets.
Right.
Because then there's like another area for washing hands. That's considered part of the.
Depends who you ask. Ideally, most people say you shouldn't make the blessing in there if you're in that room. Usually it's not practical because there's a bad smell within your four amos. Usually it's not practical.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so then it doesn't matter. You still can't do it. Yeah.
If you can't contain yourself.
Yeah.
Why can't you go to the shoe? I mean, other people.
It's a good question. I don't know.
No,
I don't know if that's considered that you're damning them. There's an aspect where we say shoe is everyone's domain. I don't know. I can tell you that when I'm sick, I don't go to shoe because I feel like it's not right for me to endanger all the old people sitting next to me when I cough. Not right. I have a tradition from my rabbis that when you're sick, you have no right to go to shul to endanger other people. And sometimes I'm contemplating, and then I walk into shul and sit next to me an old man. And I run out of shul. And I say, okay, that's my lesson. It's not right. Old people, sometimes you cough on them and you could do something really bad to them. So, no. As for this, I don't know what the category this falls into.
Well, you said you can't stop me when you smell something like that.
Right, but maybe you could stand in the back or next to the window. I don't know, man. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Yeah. Good question. In general, we say these are things you should do. Obviously, if you're in danger and you can't do it, you don't do it. But I don't think otherwise it's a difference, no.
Next question. I heard that if you have palm pilots with benching on it or whatever, that you can take it to the bathroom because it's binary. It's a code and there's
right.
Not the actual letter.
Right, we have a question
on
this.
Because it's on a screen, what difference does it make?
Because it doesn't show up on the screen.
You can't show up on the screen.
You can't have it show up, but then it's his memory in that format. Guys, I was just giving a note that we have 20 minutes till taxi's in B, right? That's what the note says? Okay, so I think we should really. We have a lot more stuff. What? We're not going to quote those. I think we're going to stop and hold sessions. Tomorrow we're having a class in Halacha. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock we have the class in the 13th.